Mexico, Phil Henry.
And welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, tonight and every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this here show. And I would like to mention to you that we are online at philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass, because that is the way to watch as well as listen, as well as access thousands of hours, 5,000 hours of audio, as well as access shows that go back over a decade, as well as access a radio show that many, including ourselves, consider to be pretty damn good. In fact, today at the offices of LEG Molotov, which is one of the great entertainment management companies in America, and we were over there on the west side of Los Angeles, I thought I'd do a little bit of a, it's almost a Howard Cosell.
Well, yes, the way you're building that up, it sounds either Howard Cosell or it like Jim McKay, something sports.
Right, so I saw today on the west side of Los Angeles at the offices of LEG Molotov, one of the great entertainment companies in America, we were there and we were doing the Bobby Dooley podcast with Jay Moore. Jay is a longtime stand-up comic actor, the host of his own sports show now, I believe, with the Fox Sports Network, and a guy who is really riding high in the podcast world as well. More Stories, which is Jay's particular podcast, I think is consistently there in the top 10 of downloaded podcasts at iTunes and elsewhere. And we had Jay in. Bobby Dooley was interviewing him today for her, the Bobby Dooley podcast. I got to tell you.
Now, how did that go? I know I saw part of you in the pre-show. You were quite happy with it.
It was fantastic. Jay is a guy that loves comedy so much that when I was driving home, after we got done with the podcast, I was driving home, he calls me up on my phone, and we start talking comedy. In other words, when I'm done working, I'm done. I don't want to talk about it, look at it, feel it, be around it. You know.
Yeah, but he's professional.
Yes, he has more of a professional interest.
Well, it's not that I don't have a professional interest, okay?
Yeah, but you didn't want to talk.
No, I did. You're right. You guys are right, okay? I mean, if you're gearing up to rip into me, all right.
We're not gearing up to rip into you, Phil. We're just pointing out the differences between a very successful man like Jay Moore, who wants to talk about comedy, who wants to dissect and to critique, you know, and sit down in a coffee shop and talk about these things, and you just want to race home and get into bed.
Yeah.
Race home and get into bed. Yeah. Sure.
Well, don't you? I mean...
No, I don't want to race home and get into bed. I just want to race home. But in any event, what I'm trying to say is that he said, Phil, you know, and this was something that I said to the pre-show audience, and I'll say it to the radio audience, and it has to do with humility, which I think is one of the great lessons in life that I have to learn, and I think everybody should, to be honest with you. I think everybody, no matter who you are, could use a healthy dose of humility. But be that as it may, I guess that wasn't very humble of me, though.
Yeah, you gotta point it out to people.
Yeah, I shouldn't point out the fact that you aren't humble, you know, that I've got something to say to you. In any event, he says to me, he says, you know what, man, every day I've got something to learn, you know, when I think of comedy and when I think of different things that I've done. And today, he said, I climbed up another rung on the comedy ladder doing that podcast with you. And I had a great time. And he said, and I the improv was fantastic and it was very challenging. And he was absolutely enthusiastic. This is long after we'd gotten done doing it. So I thought, boy, there's a guy, he's all this success, and yet he's, you know, on the phone talking to me, you know, and my podcast, and he's on his way to the airport, he's going to get on the plane, you know.
You said he was going to go see his sons.
Yeah, he was on his way to the airport, he's going to Burbank to get on a plane to go see his sons, to see his two sons. But you know, taking the time to say, wow, there's something I learned professionally and a great experience I had, and I'm going to take the time and I'm going to call Phil up and tell him that. And you know, for me, man, that's gold, and I really appreciated that, and you're going to love it. The Bobby Dooley interview with Jay Moore will probably drop, as we say, in the podcast world.
Yeah, we know already, man. Yeah, you're always talking about that.
Well, just because you idiots don't, you know, you pay attention to that, a lot of people don't know what that means.
Yeah, so just let me say the words, the big professional words.
I'm talking about it dropping. We're just saying we're going to get some people calling.
You're not going to get any people calling thinking I'm talking about going to the bathroom. You guys have already tried that one on me. It doesn't work, okay?
Oh, God.
Right. So in any event, it drops next week, the Jay Mohr interview with Bobby Dooley, and it is a part of the Bobby Dooley podcast. Hope you enjoy it, too. And also, we have our regular podcast, which is the Phil Hendry podcast, episode 136. I thought it was going to be out today. We're going to start them back up again. We kind of took a two-day break because I felt like taking a break. What do you want me to say? But you can get all of those shows at philhendryshow.com. Check us out right now. We're doing our podcast. We're doing our video cast. We have our news feed. We have our pre-show, which gets kind of raucous. As a matter of fact,
well, you started out this evening really upset.
Yeah, and I know, and I've got, who do we have? Is David going to call here in just a second so I can get some of this stuff straightened out with him or who?
Not really, I don't.
All right, well, I got in here and I'm looking at a computer. Never mind, I don't want to bug people. Here is something that I thought you'd find fascinating, something that I believe will sort of either pick your night up or drop it right down a hole, something that may or may not be something you enjoy, or perhaps it could be something that sends you over the edge into a depression you will never retrieve yourself from. And it is the following.
Good God.
Take it easy. Long Island man issued summons for laughing too loud in his own home. From the New York Post, there's no pursuit of happiness for this Long Island man. Local cops busted him for laughing too loudly in his own home. Now, this is a game that I like to play. Do you think this is really about the guy laughing too loudly?
No, I think it's probably about him. Oh, here, I'll do it. I'm going to do it, man.
Don't fight over it.
Yeah, but he can't find a word.
I think it's about him just being too loud.
All right. What do you think, Robert?
I think it's about him being too loud with a dirty joke or something. Yeah, I was going to say he said a dirty word.
All right, so in other words, what we're saying here, folks, is that they hook you with the headline, Long Island man issued summons for laughing too loud in his home. You know as well as I do that's not what the story's about. That's simply the headline that they put up on top of the story to get you to read it. And when you finally do read it, you go, oh, well, the guy, there's no, but I don't know. Maybe it actually is an ordinance that he violated. He laughed too loud. Robert Schiavelli, age 42, was recently slapped with two absurd summonses because his next-door neighbor complained that he could hear his hearty guffaws from across the driveway. I didn't know it was a crime to laugh out of a window, said Schiavelli, who is considered disabled because he has frequent seizures and suffers from neurological impairments. Schiavelli was chortling because he says his neighbor often taunts him due to his disability and his best defense is to laugh him off. Aha!
Oh, I see. So this is a disturbing the peace thing.
Wait, his neighbor, he's laughing at his neighbor?
Well, no, just listen. His neighbor taunts him, so he laughs this guy's stuff off. He laughs the taunts off. That's what he's saying. A detective responded to the Rockville Center neighbor's complaints and wrote up two tickets for, here you go, disturbing the peace. So you're right, Margaret.
No, I said the same thing.
All right, well, you guys were all basically right. Each summons carries a $250 fine for 15 days in jail, or 15 days in jail. It's absurd, lawyer Andrew Campanelli said. My client faces 30 days in jail for laughing. Schiavelli, who lives with his mother, was charged with acting in such a manner as to annoy, disturb, interfere with, obstruct, or be offensive to others. The last time I checked, it was not a crime to laugh, except in Rockville Center, said the attorney Campanelli. And Mr. Campanelli probably, kept on milking that quote because he realized he was talking to the New York Post.
All right. Good one, Mr. Schiavelli.
Nice move there, Mr. Attorney, sir. What time have we got? All right. At Schiavelli's arraignment yesterday, local judge William Croutier said he was not so inclined to dismiss the charges. When the judge asked why police were called, Campanelli said, my client is a bit of a gentle giant. The way he responds to his neighbors is to laugh. I will never let him take a plea on this, a fuming Campanelli added after court. A return date has not yet been set. So the judge said, oh, then wait a second.
Well, what was the judge saying? He was saying that the man was overdoing it?
Yeah, the judge is saying the following thing. That guy was laughing in an obnoxious manner, meaning it wasn't a real laugh. He was just going, ha, 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 like that. Probably out the... That must have been a pretty funny scene. So the guy's... Yeah, and whoever this guy is that's taunting him for his disabilities, I'd like to get the whole story on that.
Dad, see, that's not very good.
Yeah, but you don't know that that's the truth. You don't get, with all of the information and all of the communication we have these days, are you getting the truth? Probably not, So what is this story about the guy being taunted for his disabilities? Is that true? Or not? Now, the guy, the judge we know, said, no, I'm not going to dismiss. Why is that? Because, obviously, this is not just laughter. This is disturbing the peace. So the guy was probably doing something along the lines of, you know, maybe the dude said, boy, your seizures, they remind me of something out of The Exorcist. Oh, yeah, ha, 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 really funny. Ha, 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 Bill, you going to say anything else? Ha, ha, ha.
Well, my God, then I would definitely call the... Yeah.
Call the police. That's disturbing the peace.
Yeah, the guy's going, ha, 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 ha. You know.
Yeah, we know.
Please don't do that, Bud, because this is it's very early in the show for me to commit the kind of violent act.
Never mind. All right, we're going to be right back. The number 877-876-PHIL. David G. Hall is going to be joining us here in just a moment on some of the technical aspects of our radio show that we'll let you eavesdrop in on, some of the mal or misfeasance, some of just the day-to-day that we're having problems with. We'll be talking to David and talk to him about our podcast. Bobby Dooley later on to talk about Jay Moore, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, we have an unusual phone call. Not that we're talking to anyone unusual. David G. Hall is our vice president of syndication here on the Phil Hendry Show, but we are going to be talking to him from literally DC-3, where he is right now, flying to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, and I believe there's someplace over Oceanside, California. David, are you there?
Yeah, Phil, we are definitely. You might say this is a very high flying. Way to go. When I say high-flying, we're not more than a couple of thousand feet above the California coast, aboard a DC-3, which is a small airline that is a part of an investment that Tabitha, you know, my fiancé, her father is a part owner in this particular air service. But I'm loath to mention the name of the airline because I don't want people to think that this is a commercial announcement, but I think that they've been kicking around names like Goldwing, Tabitha, you know a little bit more about it than me. She's a little shy. I don't want to talk to her, but I think Goldwing is what they have been talking about, and they will start service, I think, in June.
Well, what? Tell me, what is this airline? So it's a small prop job It's a small prop job, or?
Well, it's not just a prop job. It's a DC-3. It's one of the original airliners. When I say airliner, certainly it's not as big as the modern day jets, but it was one of the original aircraft that carried people from, you know, from point A to point B, wherever it might be, and did it in a relative luxury. Now, the interesting thing about this DC-3 is that there is front wheels underneath the wings, as I was just talking to the captain, but there's none to the rear of the aircraft. So literally, Phil, we had to all sit up front as they were taking off.
You're kidding.
No. We had to sit up front as they were taking off so that the weight would be distributed evenly. And then as they took off and they were airborne, then we all moved back in the back of the aircraft. And I said to Tabitha, you know, you tell your dad. That was at least one sort of hairy moment, but... So
Tabitha's father is investing in this airline?
No, Tabitha's father is the owner of this airline, and what they're going to do is inaugurate service from the area airports in the Los Angeles area, for instance, Oxnard, up near where you live, Phil, Camarillo, Palm Springs, and they will inaugurate service between those points and some of the resort areas in Mexico, such as Puerto Vallarta, such as Ensenada, and so forth. So we think it's a very exciting. We're having a great time.
And you said you're not that far above the ground.
Well, we're not. I don't think we're more than maybe 10,000 feet. I'd have to ask the pilot who we were talking to just before we took off. Milton, right? Bill Milton. When I get up, maybe I go up front here. Can I go up and talk to him in a few minutes, Phil? But. It is exciting, and it's part of this new Goldwing Air Express that will be starting in June. You know, we'd like you... I said that this is not a commercial announcement, and it is not a commercial announcement. We would certainly appreciate very much if you'd, you know, talk about it a little bit on the show.
Well, wait, if it's not a commercial announcement, are they paying? Well, I guess I shouldn't ask.
No, I would appreciate if you would not ask, because, you know, we like to let the audience in on things, but not that much. And I think you might have given the audience the idea that you're being forced to talk about it.
Well, am I?
Well, and that's also an unfortunate comment. So Tabitha's looking at me. She's rolling her eyes like, what kind of, well.
She's rolling her eyes like what?
It's nothing, Phil. Don't worry about it. She gave me a look and rolled her eyeballs like, but it's nothing. No,
David, you know, I just, if you don't mind, what does she mean by the rolled eye? You know, I've, this young lady that you've been dating, God bless you. I think she's, you know, if it makes you happy.
Hold on for just a minute, because I told you about the, well, you see, if it makes me happy.
If she makes you happy.
All right.
What I meant was, if it, in what I meant by it was the experience, okay?
Right, but there's people in this experience, Phil. When you say, if it makes me happy, see, she's rolling her eyeballs again. Don't do that, honey. See ya.
All right, but let me just, I want to jump in here. Do you mind?
Go ahead.
This young lady that you're going out with, this is not the first time that you said to me that she's rolling her eyeballs when I say something. Now, I don't know, you know, she's not here listening on the radio, is she?
No, we're in a DC-3 over the coast of California. There's no radio up here. There's no radio reception we're going to get. No, I'm just, she knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, okay, so when she's rolling her eyeballs, she's basically saying what?
Well, I think you probably can imagine. Now, you got an audience there. I wanted to get into the mechanical failings there that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, but I didn't want to talk about it on the other. That's something else. I didn't want to talk about it on the air. Bud tells me that you wanted to call in and discuss this.
Yeah, I did, because I want people to see for themselves what I have to deal with and why. If you say she's rolling her eyeballs, why do you suppose she's rolling her eyeballs?
No, I'm asking you why she's rolling her eyeballs, okay?
I don't. Only you know the answer, Phil.
No, this is not about me having the answer to why your girlfriend...
And she is my fiancée, if you don't mind.
All right.
She's my fiancée, if you don't mind.
All right, why your fiancée? I don't know why she's rolling her eyeballs.
Three guesses, what is it? Yep, Tabitha just said three guesses and the first two don't count. You know.
Oh, did she say that? Well, that's an original line.
What is it you got a problem with... You know, I know you don't have a problem with women. And
no, I don't have a problem with women.
You have a problem with me dating a very young woman.
Nope, I don't even have a problem with that.
Well, it sounds like it.
No, what I got a problem with is every time I say something having to do with the business, having to do with things, you know, I don't even know why she rolled her eyes. She's always rolling her eyes. You're always telling me, hey, Tabitha just rolled her eyeballs. Like, in other words, like I'm some kind of a dumbass.
No, I didn't. I've never said that you're a dumbass.
No, you don't have to, David. You don't have to say I'm a dumbass, because all you got to say is she rolled her eyeballs. Yeah, Margaret.
David, this is Margaret. Why is this young woman even a factor in the conversation you're having?
Yeah, that's a good point. She's not even to be the factor.
Oh, look at Bud just learned a new word. That's great.
Well, it's a good question.
What is?
Why are we even talking about her?
Because you brought it up.
No. Excuse me, David, no, you're the one that brought up, Tabitha just rolled her eyeballs.
Yeah, because Phil was talking, he was talking about stuff that makes a woman of 21 years of age roll her eyes, and...
Well, now, what would that be? Where the sun comes up in the morning?
Well, you know, she's rolling her eyeballs again. You're saying stuff here that...
How does she know what I just said?
Because she can hear it. I don't have the speakerphone on, but I might as well, because I do have the speakerphone on, but I've got it pressed up against my ear. Okay?
So in other words, you have the speakerphone on?
No, I do not. Yes, I do, but I've got it pressed. I'm jamming it into my ear so she can't hear.
Why do you have the speakerphone on?
Because I can hear better that way.
You know what? I think you got the speakerphone on so the whole aircraft can hear what's going on.
No, not the whole aircraft, no. I want to talk with you about the mechanical failings in the studio and all of these things you complain about. And I'm taking time out of a very enjoyable trip we're taking down to Puerto Vallarta tonight, because you wanted to talk about this, and I want the audience to hear some of this stuff, because I love you, Phil. I think you're talented, but I think Tabitha said, I gotta say it, you're a crybaby.
Did Tabitha say that? I'm so glad that you have Tabitha with you. You know, I really am.
Oh, Philip, you know, sarcasm does not become you, okay? What is it, honey? Yeah, she said you're a big, fat crybaby.
Okay,
put him on hold.
Yeah, is that what I did? But what is it with everybody tonight? You put him on hold. Next time you're going to be telling me, hey, Phil, you just breathed. Do you know that you're breathing? Yes, I do. Thank you.
Well, Phil, I think we're all trying to defend you here.
I appreciate that, but it's still irritating to me. We'll be right back with David G. Hall and talk about, all kinds of things, including his girlfriend, his fiancée, Tabitha, who's rolling her eyeballs at everything that I'm saying. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Oh, look at that. There's Catalina, and there's, see, that's San Diego down there.
Phil Henry.
Well, how do I know? All right.
Here it is, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. David G. Hall is on the line with us. He's going to be joining us back in just a moment. I think we have to reestablish some communication with them. You understand that it's kind of difficult because what you've got is essentially an aircraft that is relaying a phone signal. It's actually a radio telephone from what my understanding is.
Well, I know. I remember when Frank... A long time ago, Frank used to have a radio telephone, some sort of phone like that in the car that he used. And I remember it was very difficult to speak with him on it. But it was in those days, it was the only thing they had.
Yeah, they didn't have cell phones back per se in those days. And so, you know, you had that sort of problem. Bud, how are we doing?
Yeah, I'm trying to establish a communication. Yeah, hold on for a minute. Yeah. Roger Wilco is a plane.
What are you doing, man?
Using airplane talk. Yeah, he's using airplane talk.
What do you mean airplane talk?
Airplane talk? What, just tell the guy that we are the radio station that was talking to David G. Hall, and he's the guy that we're talking to, and, you know, we're...
Roger. Roger. Wilco and out.
Okay, so what was that?
That's what I said to him.
Well, what did he say to you, man?
Oh, I forget. Hold on. Yeah, hello? Yeah, Roger, can we...
Give me that, will you? Yeah, hi, it's Phil Henry. I was just talking to David G. Hall. He's my vice president of syndication. He's aboard an aircraft, I believe, that is traveling south. It's a DC-3. He wants to talk to you, bud.
Yeah, see, he wants to talk airplane talk.
Get out of here with airplane.
Okay, Bravo, Yankee Bravo, and everything, and... Right, it's an airplane that's traveling south, and there's some people. It's a DC-3. I don't know. Maybe, but I'm not sure. Yeah. Okay, I'll call you back.
So what did he say?
He didn't know.
Will you give me that phone, man? Look at Margaret, can you place this call?
I happen to be on the air. I'm a co-host on the panel. I'm on a panel. I don't make phone... Who do you think you're...
Robert.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, hi.
Can you guys go in the other room and do that, please? I don't know what happened, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize. I had this bloody thing, and then all of a sudden, we lost the connection. So we're going to have to just wing it here for just a couple of minutes. David G. Hall, aboard a DC-3, and this is an aircraft that is traveling, as I mentioned to you, traveling to the south... and it's on its way to what I think is a landing there in Puerto Vallarta and in Mexico, which all sounds very nice. But the problem being, we've lost connection with this. And you can well imagine that the difficulty in maintaining connection with an aircraft in the air. I didn't even think we were going to be able to do this in the first place, but we were able to, and so it goes. Meantime, our number 877-876-PHIL, 7445 as we talk here with you and with David about some of these equipment malfunctions that we have. Do we have the aircraft?
Not yet. They're trying to hold on for a minute. Do you know where it is? They said they've lost it off the radar.
Get out of here. Don't start talking to me like that, okay?
Well, I don't know.
Let me have the phone. Hi. It's Phil Henry. It's a DC-3 flying to Mexico. You lost it off the radar. But now you've got it back? What does that mean, now you got it back? Now it's gone again. I think there's something wrong with your radar, man. Do you think? I said there's something wrong with your radar, don't you think? There's something wrong with your radar. The radar on your air, on your, I don't know. I'm on the air. Thank you. Yeah, just talk to this jackass, will you?
Yeah. Oh, you heard that? He heard you call him a jackass, Phil.
Don't give a crap. Who do we got here? 877-876-PHIL. Art Griego joining us from the Santa Monica Airport right now. Art, have you been listening to any of this?
I have, Phil, and it sounds to me like you just had a kind of a rusty connection there. And these DC-3s, you know, who knows what kind of radio equipment they have. I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Well, I mean, if the aircraft is off the radar.
Well, if it's off the radar, it can mean one of a couple of things. It can mean that they're experiencing some sort of communication problem having to do with weather. It could mean that they're experiencing a communication problem having to do with the equipment on board. It's very unlikely, but it could mean that the aircraft is experiencing a malfunction other than that.
What do you mean a malfunction other than that?
Well, I'm not talking about anything serious, Phil. I'm just saying that there is a larger malfunction that may have occurred with the entire aircraft.
Well, I mean, are you talking about it crashing?
No, I am not. No, I am not talking about it crashing. I understand that your friends and colleagues are on that aircraft, and I would not even... I'm not going to joke about something like that. If I felt that that was the case, I would tell you. But no, I don't think there's any chance that that's the case. I think that because I know these DC-3s, they're very good aircraft. There's no bad weather out there tonight. The coast of California is relatively clear. I know there's some cloud cover, but it's nothing there. But there might have been some larger malfunction having to do with the aircraft. And
well, what could it be if it's not the radio equipment? If it's not the as you said, if it's not some something having to do with weather, for instance, then what could it be?
Well, I'm just saying it could be something as a failure that makes it it's difficult to communicate right now.
For example?
Well, it could be anything. If the aircraft is not maintaining its altitude,
so it's going to a lower altitude.
Yes, it's going to an altitude where the communication becomes impossible. And
what altitude is that?
When communication becomes impossible?
Yeah, what altitude would the plane be at when the communication... I've never heard of a radio.
Well, this is aircraft radio, so when the aircraft is communicating properly, the aircraft is generally at a level, an altitude.
Unless it's on the ground.
Yes, unless it's on the ground. In this case, the aircraft has not maintained... might not have maintained altitude. And it could be on the ground, but it is not intact to the point where the radio...
What are you talking about, man?
Oh, my God. Are you talking about the plane crashing?
No, I am not.
Well, what do you mean it's not intact?
I'm saying if the aircraft is not maintaining altitude and you said it was on the ground, then and it's not... the radio isn't working, then the plane is in... there's a lot of... it's not... no longer... joined together, you see?
It's no longer joined together, meaning the plane has crashed and there's pieces of it laying all over the place.
That's not necessarily a crash. Now, you take, for instance, 1940...
Would you get me somebody on the phone I can talk to, okay?
That's a guy. He's an aviation guy.
And he's a drunk, too. Art Griego is a notorious alcoholic. You didn't know that, huh?
No, I didn't know that at all.
He's probably out there right now sitting and just having himself a good time. Sometimes the radio fails if it's on the ground and the plane isn't in one piece.
Well, that sounds like a crash.
Oh, really? Yeah. Did they have this guy back or what?
Yeah, we got him. You got radar? Okay, they got radar. You got radar, but the plane that you're looking at ain't our plane?
Oh, man, I'm going to kill somebody.
Now, Mr. Henry just wants to make sure that... okay. I think they probably will get us a satellite. And if they have a satellite, then they'll be able to find out where the plane is. Okay, right there.
What is that?
That's a satellite.
What satellite?
It's a recording of a satellite that I found.
Get that out of here. I'm not looking for a recording of a satellite. I want the real thing. He's not in a satellite. He's in an airplane. Hello. Good Lord. 877-876-PHIL. So while we try to track where the people...
Yeah, that's the baby alert.
Oh, I forgot to tell you about the baby alarm. This is something, Phil...
hold on, what do you mean the baby alarm?
This is something, excuse me, that Tabitha, David's girlfriend, had suggested. I'm not saying we're going to do it.
She suggested what?
Every time when you start to complain about everything, and we'll just... Yeah.
Well, guess what? No, you're not going to do that, okay?
Well, I know, Tabitha, you know...
Oh, I don't give a damn what Tabitha said. Boy, that's the wrong name. You should have said David. Maybe I'd give it some consideration. If I had David on the phone, I would give it some consideration. Tabitha, though, to have that woman tell me about...
Yeah, listen. Yeah, it's another baby alert.
Look, don't play any more baby alerts, all right?
Well, it's what Tabitha thought was best. You see, so...
Margaret, I don't care what Tabitha thought. Do you understand?
I understand. Would you allow me to finish?
Go ahead.
Tabitha felt that when you begin to go off on people, when you're talking about the equipment, when you're talking about things that are irrelevant, that we hit baby one. If it gets any worse, then naturally we allow baby one to go into baby. This is baby two. Bud. Yeah, there you go. So that gives us...
I'm going to take that and I'm going to put a fire axe through it. You understand?
So I take it you don't want us to use that.
You take it right, okay?
You talk about humiliating, and I don't understand, Mr. Henry. I've always looked up to you. Now you can't be humble enough to know when you're going baby.
You gotta have the humility to know when you're going baby on somebody, don't you?
I gotta have the humility to know that I'm going baby, huh?
Well, Phil, you were talking about it, and you were talking a real good game before the show started about, oh, ladies and gentlemen... You know, ladies and gentlemen...
All right, okay.
No, go ahead, Margaret.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Phil Henry, and you know that I've learned my humility...
All right, okay. I get it.
No, let her go.
You know that I've learned my humility, ladies and gentlemen, and it's very, very important, ladies and gentlemen, to be humble. That's exactly what you sounded like a Kansas City fairy. And
oh, that's real nice of you.
Baby, too.
We're going to be right back. We're going to find David G. Hall. He's either in an airplane, he's either on the ground. I'm sure... I'm not crying about anything.
I don't know. Yeah, sound like you're going to launch in a baby.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Just
truth
because you talk quietly doesn't
bitch
mean you've got, you haven't
the
gone
Phil
baby
Henry Show.
Gone baby.
Right,
David G. Hall is back. We had a scare, you have to understand, you know?
No, I understand, but I got was from the pilot who said that you were having some kind of a temper tantrum, and I understand that Margaret introduced you to what I had hoped and what I still hope will be used on the program, Phil.
No, this baby alarm is the height of humiliation. You know, you guys have introduced all kinds of things, flatlining if the show gets boring, all kinds of things to be humiliating about, and now I got to deal with a baby alarm.
Well, you're dealing with a baby alarm, Phil, because you have been in that studio, and again, I think when you talk about Tabitha rolling her eyeballs, let's go and talk a little bit about you crying about the equipment to the point I'm not there, I can't change everything. So if you go, baby, and that's the code, then Bud has the authority to... Bud?
Yeah, do it now.
Yeah, right there. Okay, so that is go, baby, one. I think they did three levels. I'm not sure.
Did they do three levels? And that's very scientific. That's fantastic. Just like the FAA, man. That's great. It's almost like a collision alarm on that plane you're on.
All right, now just keep your mouth shut about that, okay?
Oh, why should I do that? What do you, you know, I want to let you know, man. I want to let you know that there are alarms for all kinds of things. And, oh, wait a minute. It's a DC-3. It was built a long time ago. Maybe they don't have a collision alarm on those. Did you think about that?
Okay, Tabitha is... you are upsetting Tabitha now. Can we get a napkin? You're upsetting my fiancée right now.
Well, I don't mean to upset her, but she's rolling her eyeballs every time I say something that I want to do on this radio show, okay? Every time I say something about the equipment, every time...
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. That's a baby, too. Can we get a napkin? Because she's... You have upset this young lady who is traveling to Mexico with me. And she's missing work to do this, by the way. And
there's another very difficult thing for her to put up with. Going to Mexico, going to Puerto Vallarta, and missing work. You know?
Well, this is not going to interest you because what she's doing right now...
Rolling her eyeballs?
Yeah, no, she's not rolling her eyeballs. She, because of you saying collision alarm, she has had a situation. I said I needed a napkin. I think we're going to need more than one napkin now because you're taking time.
What'd she do, wet her pants?
You know, I gotta tell you, Phil, of all the classless things that you would say...
Well, I don't know. What did she do?
Yes, she urinated, but I didn't expect you to come right out and say that. So that is... In other words, what we're talking about here... Thank you, bud.
No, it's you. Baby alarm for you.
The baby alarm doesn't apply for me. The baby alarm doesn't apply for me. Can we get another napkin? I've got a young lady here who's very sensitive to the things that are being done to my career because what affects me affects her. When you give me a hard time, when you say you don't want to talk about things, when Bud does the baby alarm and it's meant for me, then because she's in an aircraft that's a DC-3 and does not have all of the modern safety measures, let's say, that other aircraft have, it all winds up a puddle at her feet. Let's just put it that way. Let me put it as bodily as I can. All of the tension, all of the excitement, all of the fears, it's just one, it's a puddle. All right? Now, that's what you guys have done tonight. You know something? I wish, you know what? I really do wish this plane would crash if you guys were on it instead of me. Haul out. And I told him.
Shh, don't say anything.
Can we get a napkin over here? Yeah, she went again. I'm trying to keep it off the air.
Don't say anything.
Well, Phil, you're embarrassing him.
Don't say anything.
Yeah, I told him off, baby. Don't worry about it. Big mouth radio host.
Now,
don't worry about it, baby. When we get to Puerto Vallarta, my understanding is there'll be a hotel car waiting for us, too.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Boy, that ass, Henry. He really takes the cake, doesn't he?
I can't
fire him. He's actually technically my boss.
Did you hear that?
Hmm. Hey, wait a minute. The phone isn't hung up, you whore. I told you to press the button.
Oh, did you hear that one?
Who was he talking to?
Probably talking to Tabitha and everything.
He was talking to his girlfriend, his fiance.
I think he was talking to a flight attendant.
A flight attendant, huh? Hey, by the way, I've been on a DC-3. I've been on a DC-3.
You have?
Yes. I was on a DC-3 in Miami. I flew it down to Key West, and I'll tell you this. If they have a flight attendant, they got one, all right? And a flight attendant on a DC-3, yeah, they can serve coffee, and they can bring you maybe a soft drink, but they're not walking up and down the aisle like they do in regular aircraft today, you know, because it's small, and there's turbulence, and...
But what do you mean, turbulence?
Turbulence, dude. You know, they're flying at like 10,000 feet. They're not up above the clouds, okay? They're not way up where you can fly above the weather. So...
Well, I still think... Are you telling me...
I'm telling you that he just called her a whore, just like Don Berman called all those horses.
Well, who cares about a horse? That's not a real lady.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, very good point. You guys are really... You're knocking it out of the park tonight with stating the obvious. I know, okay? I know a horse is not a woman. I'm just saying... Just saying. That's what everybody says now, huh? They're all saying just saying?
Yes, but you were all over Facebook one weekend saying, oh, would you please stop saying just saying? It's really driving me crazy.
Why are you making fun of that?
Phil, I think you have to just get into the colloquial man. Get into the things that the average man enjoys. Speak his language. Don't talk down to him. That's what you're doing.
I'm talking down to... Am I talking down to people, bud?
Sort of.
How do I talk down to people?
Like Ms. Gray was saying, on account of when you went on to Facebook and people were saying just saying and you were yelling at them.
I wasn't yelling at them.
Yeah, well, I remember the time you saying, hey, you know, you didn't call him retard or anything. You saying, don't talk like a dumbass.
Yes, that's a word you like to use, dumbass. I think you should just enjoy the way the average... If he says just saying, then go ahead and use the phrase yourself. They'll think you're one of them. Oh, look at you. That's rather distasteful, isn't it?
No, it's not distasteful. No. I mean, I've just never been a guy that... When something gets overused, it starts to grate on my nerves. Maybe it's, you know...
Yeah, that's a personality failing you have, Mr. Henry.
Oh, thanks a lot, Doc. God. Baylor student dies after accident at dance rehearsal. Officials say a Baylor University freshman... What?
Well, are you all done with David?
Yes, I'm done with David. He hung up on me, remember? Officials say a Baylor... I remember his closing line? I wish this plane would crash if you guys were on it.
Oh, you think that's funny?
Yeah, I think it's hysterical. Officials say a Baylor University freshman died after suffering a serious injury while attempting a backflip at a dance rehearsal. Oh, Lord. Authorities characterized the incident as a tragic accident, identified the deceased student as 18-year-old Kevin Signo, a pre-biology student from San Francisco. Signal, well, it says here Frisco, and I'm not going to make a big deal out of that. Is there such a town as Frisco, or are they talking about San Francisco?
I think it's probably Frisco.
Yeah, Frisco.
San Francisco.
Yeah.
Okay, then why don't they say San Francisco?
Well, they are San Frisco.
I don't think you should do that in a news story. Anyway, Signal was at Mars McLean Gym, and Frisco is in Texas. That's not San Francisco.
Oh.
Signal was at Mars McLean Gym on the Baylor University campus Saturday evening for a meeting with the university's Filipino Student Association, of which he was an active member. The group was practicing traditional Filipino dance. During a break from the rehearsal, Signo attempted a backflip. Justice of the peace, W.H. Pete Peterson, said Signo landed on his forehead, this poor kid, causing a fatal spinal injury. He was taken by ambulance to Hillcrest Baptist Medical Center. Boy, that's rough, man. See, it just goes to show you, unless everything in life, you never know. You never know. And those among us who take the chances in this world, who try that extra little physical, emotional, mental gymnastic, sometimes pay the ultimate price just to see how far they can go. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here to the shores of El Pacifico, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we are here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And we're also online at philhenryshow.com. Live streaming video of our show, a video cast that is compatible with your iPhone, your iPad, many of your Droid, and all like that, you know. And I think you dig that very, very much.
Is that your homage to people saying y'all?
No, it's just I like that kind of talking, I guess. I like that southern drawl thing. We do have coming up this hour Herb Sewell is going to be talking with us about telecommuting. And what?
Why do we have that man?
Just never mind. We're going to have Herb Sewell on. And Herb is, yes, Herb was imprisoned for child molestation. And
Herb was in prison for child molestation, and now he's going to be talking about telecommuting. Do you understand, Phil, that this is tasteless?
Yeah, a lot of people think, you know.
Well, I mean, it's too late now. What are you talking about? I've had the guy on a million times. A million times that guy has been on the show talking about things.
Yes, he's on the show talking about crime and the crime that he was incarcerated, by the way, in a hospital for the criminally insane. The criminally insane. So in that instance, yes. But to have him on talking about something as pedestrian as telecommuting is an abomination before God and man.
Hey, very good, Mr. Green.
Thank you.
Wait, so let me ask you a question. Since when are you applauding? And
I think that there are times when I'm able to put an exclamatory phrase.
No, that's exclamatory.
Yeah.
Oh, is it? You guys know what exclamatory? What does exclamatory mean? Huh, Robert? What does it mean? Bud.
It's. I know it's. It has to do with going to the bathroom.
Everything with you has to do with going to the bathroom.
No, but exclamatory means a very striking and very important phrase, one that lends weight to the statement that came before it. Exclamatory. See?
Yeah, I sorta.
Never mind, okay? So it's an exclamatory phrase, and he applauds. All to what end? But Herb Sewell is on the show. Because he does telecommute, because he does live in a halfway house. Yes, he's a criminal.
Yes, he's a criminal. Yes, he was a child molester. But we have him on because he'll tell us about telecommuting.
Well, I mean, the guy's on now. I don't know. You know what, Margaret? I'll have you take that up with him.
I don't want to talk to scum like that. Thank you very much. I'm going to the toilet.
Hey.
That is not exclamatory, bud.
You said it's... going to the toilet.
It's not got anything to do with going to the toilet. Exclamatory. Exclamatory.
As opposed to excretory or whatever.
Yeah, just go ahead, Margaret.
I beg your pardon.
Get out of here! God! So, welcome to the show. I mean, like, there's never a show, welcome to the show that tries to get off the ground and never does, because we got 85 million people sitting in here telling me how to do it, when to do it, and why I'm doing it. What's exclamatory mean? Going to the bathroom?
Yeah, every time, man, you always say that.
Because that's a lot of the stuff we talk about.
Well, I'll give you a point there, bud. You're right. It's what we're talking about. In any event, welcome to the program. So get a backstage pass, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. El Cheapo Reno, baby, $9.95. You can't ask for all of the stuff that we have, over 5,000 hours of audio and over 10 years worth of radio shows for $9.95 a month. You got to be putting me on, Henry. Have you gone mad? I feel like, what's the guy, Madman Muntz, back in the day when he talked about, I'm giving away these stereos for this? I must be nuts! And we're going to start doing commercials like that. Madman Henry. $9.95, man. We're cheaper than, we've got more content than Sirius XM, and that ain't no lie, man. We got more content on this website than Sirius XM has got, and they charge, what, $15 a month?
I don't know, I didn't see my bill lately.
You didn't see your bill. You mean you got
You got one. You got a subscription?
Yeah, I got a subscription to it, only on account of they have NASCAR.
They got Fox.
Well, I mean, they got NASCAR.
Yeah, that's what carries it, Fox. What about you, Robert?
I don't know. I think maybe I do. I have the NFL.
You have the NFL that on Sirius?
Well, on TV.
On TV. That's not Sirius.
What do you mean Sirius?
S.I. Sirius.
Oh, no, I got the NFL.
That's not Sirius. That's the NFL. What do you have Sirius?
I got the NFL.
The NFL, dude, if you're watching on television, it's probably DirecTV.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, then you don't have Sirius XM and he does.
I know I got Sirius. I don't know about XM.
It's the same thing, man. God. All right, so that, oh, man, I'm winded after that. So you have Sirius XM. You don't. Any plans on getting it?
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah?
Same with me.
I thought you got Sirius XM.
Well, I do, but about the NFL package.
I didn't ask you about the NFL package. What is wrong with you guys? I'm having you both into the hospital, okay?
I don't want to go to the hospital, man.
I don't care if doctors scare you. I need you, both you guys, to get brain x-rays. I swear to God, man. I just do. All right. Marissa Meyer might be a trendsetter. Marissa Meyer, as you know, is the CEO at Yahoo, and she is the executive who caused a great deal of kerfuffle and upset and contretemps last week when she said, guess what, all of that telecommuting that you jive-ass monkeys have been doing, all you monkeys are coming in now. No monkeys work from home.
Did you say monkey?
No, but she might as well have. She might as well have because, you know, that's what she's saying. She's basically saying, you, all of you out there, all members of the Lago Volunteers, all you monkeys are coming in. No more mugs staying home and working at home. Now, that's what she said, and that's what, that's the punchline to a joke. That's what she said, and you better believe that's what she said. And her name's Marissa Meyer. But over at Best Buy, they're taking her idea, and they're a little bit more flexible. Best Buy is now the next big company to say that they're altering the telecommuting plans, the telecommuting schedule of their employees, but Best Buy said that some of the 4,000 non-store employees who took advantage of its work-from-home program still may be able to telecommute or set flexible schedules, but as of Monday, they'll no longer have the freedom to make those decisions without a manager as they had in the past. So what they're doing at Best Buy is they're now vetting, if we may use that word, that ugly word from the political campaigns past. They're vetting all of these decisions through managers. So you can't just say, oh, I think I'll, you know, work this time or that. You done?
Yes, I'm done. Do you have to make an announcement when I come back from the toilet?
No, but
I wanted to just jump in. First of all, I think it is absolutely ruinous and destructive of Best Buy at this late stage of the game to insert their corporate busybodiedness, I know that's not a word, into the home schedules of mothers, of young mothers, the very delicate feeding schedules of infants, the delicate schedules when you have children at home and you're working from home, your potty training, your breastfeeding, there's an awful lot, Phil, your diaper changing. If Best Buy is prepared to turn their stores, their business, into a large nursery where there are infants having their diapers changed, where there are women exposing themselves to breastfeed, where there is any number of things going on, then have at it, Best Buy. But the stink, and yes, allow me to finish, Phil. No, not to. The stink, the offense to religiously sensitive people, the...
Well,
hold on. Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
No, I don't know what you mean. You brought up potty changing.
Potty changing? What kind?
Yeah, I mean, you brought up potty training, right?
Yes, potty training, diaper changing, and breastfeeding. Those three things. The stink, the quizzical looks on the infants' on the little people's faces as they wander the store looking for their mother, wondering, should I flush? What did I just do? And then, of course, women everywhere with breasts.
Well, women everywhere with breasts. Well, there's a shocker.
Yeah, no kidding. Like what? You figured that they all had a dasvet or a danmecti or however you say it.
A what?
Talk about a mastectomy.
What has that got to do with anything, bud?
Yes.
Well, you said women with breasts, and she's all surprised about it.
You know something, bud? Don't make any jokes about breast cancer, okay? Or I'm going to kick your ass so hard, man, that whatever the field goal record is for the NFL, I will have shattered it because I didn't do it with a football. I did it with a dumbass, which weighs probably, I don't know how much heavier. And yet still, I will smash that record by 4 yards.
So you're saying that you will 67 yards?
Yes, a 67-yard field goal kicking Bud's ass through the uprights.
You're on. How much you got?
Well, I got $10.
Don't bet now. What are you guys? Are you actually putting money on it?
Are you kidding me?
Don't bet now. We'll be right back. Will we be right back? Yes, we'll be right back. Maybe we won't be right back. Maybe this is it, man. No, we're coming back here with Herb Sewell, forgive me, and also Bobby Dooley to talk about the Jay Moore interview she'll be doing next week on the Bobby Dooley Podcast. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I don't want to get into an argument with it.
You won't get into an argument.
All right, because you know I hate her guts.
World famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and of course online at philhendryshow.com. And we're going to bring on line now a very controversial guest, a gentleman we've had on our program many times, Herb Sewell. And you can talk with Herb if you want, Margaret. Herb, how are you?
I'm doing good, Phil. Thank you for having me on the program. And I certainly do welcome Ms. Gray's comments. I do welcome a civil debate with her.
Well, can I say something?
Phil, I would like you, if I may...
Yeah, let Herb open up with his comments.
I have something I'd like to say.
And Mr. Hendry, I think, has already stated his decision on that, and I would defer to Mr. Hendry as the host of the program.
You know, you sound so cultured, and you're really nothing more than garbage. You know that, right?
Yes, Margaret, of course. You know, you remind me of Mother. You really do.
And I hope that because I remind you of Mother, that I'm never within 100 yards of you at any given time, because I fear what you might have done to her.
That is the kind of comment that in the past, yes, would have meant a violent response from me. But I'm better than that now. And for you to insinuate that I did anything violent to Mother is absolutely wrong. It is erroneous. I never laid a hand on Mother, but I can assure you she laid hands on me. And the end result of that was my time at Atascadero.
Oh, that's right. Let's blame your mother for all of the horrible things that you did.
I'm not saying that it is the sole reason. There's no shame, Miss Gray. Something you should keep in mind as you raise that young one of yours, Jason Delmonico, or whatever the name is, the bizarre name you've given that boy.
All right, now you hold it right there.
No, I'm going to finish what I'm going to say. Something to keep in mind. There's an old saying in psychiatry, if it's not one thing, then it's your mother. Okay?
Well, I haven't heard that. That's a good one.
That's pretty good, Mr. Sewer.
Thank you very much. If it's not one thing, and by the way, my name is Sewell. Sewell. Was that Dickman that said that?
Bud?
Yeah, well, I said Mr. Sewer. Sorry, Mr. Sewell.
It's Sewell. Sewell. S-E-W-E-L-L.
We get it already, Herb.
No, we don't. You might, but he didn't, and I'm talking to him now. You have a very, very irritating habit, Margaret, of butting in wherever you feel like. That's why I wonder whether your son is safe as he showers and his mother isn't kicking the door down, running in with her house coat wide open. No underwear.
You know something? Either you hang up on this animal or I am leaving right now.
You're not leaving, Margaret. I told you that this is the game. Okay?
I've got a great idea. Why don't you go into the bathroom and fiddle with yourself as you...
You know something? I swear to God, Sewell, there's the only thing that's keeping you safe is this telephone line.
Well, you could go through the phone line like so many of Phil's guests have.
No, I don't stoop to that level. I don't stoop to the level of crawling through the fiber optics, etc. But I'm going to the toilet, and you can fantasize about that.
No, you're the one that'll be doing the fantasizing.
I got to tell you something, Margaret, before you go in there.
Yes?
All of that was unnecessary. I mean, you knew that he was going to come on. You could have kept your mouth shut, you know.
No one tells Margaret Gray to keep her mouth shut. Thank you.
Well, that I believe. That I believe. There's no question no one tells her to keep her mouth shut.
All right. Well, that was an explosive beginning.
Well, it was one that I anticipated. I had no doubt that, you knew it, but with Helga there was... are you listening to me in the bathroom there, Margaret, or are you fiddling about in there?
You're an animal. You're nothing more than an animal. You do not warrant any response from me. Why would I respond to you any more than I would respond to a catfish? I hate you.
Is she in the bathroom?
She's yelling through the door, yeah.
Why don't you continue your business in the bathroom, Ms. Gray, and not yell through the door, because that way we can at least not be thinking about the disgusting things you do in there. Now, Phil...
Listen, give me the microphone.
Margaret?
No, give me... Herb, I'm going to find out where you are, and when I do, I will have pickets.
No, I'm not telling you, because that is exactly what we're trying to avoid. And by the way, I've registered as a sex offender with the local authorities.
I'll find you, and when I find you, God...
Just take it easy, will you? All right, Herb, we're going to be talking about telecommuting here.
Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about. That was my understanding. I didn't know that we were going to have to deal with Ms. Gray.
All right, let's not talk about her. She's sitting there very quietly. Let's talk about...
What is this on your television? I'm looking at the... It looks to me as if there's a fire behind you or something like that. Did you see that?
Yeah, we have... Well, somehow that we got a different green screen. I apologize. Let's just go back. All right. So, telecommuting. Now, today, the announcement was made by Best Buy that they are going to allow their employees to continue to telecommute, but they're going to allow them to telecommute only with the approval of managers. So, where they used to make their own schedules, they're not making it anymore. What do you think of that?
Well, it would not be workable for me. It would not be workable for me, and I'll tell you why. I don't want to hit this one too hard, but I have a very specific schedule that I've worked out for myself. And what I do is I wake up in the morning, I do research for your listeners out there.
Yeah, are you looking at pictures of little boys?
Margaret, will you just can it?
That was uncalled for. And I can assure you, Ms. Gray...
You can assure me what? What can you assure me?
That I'm a gentleman, but were you to show up at my doorstep with some of your neighbor friends and some of the neighborhood wenches and witches and bitches with their signs and their cuckolded husbands, which I'm sure yours is one.
How dare you? My husband's an attorney, by the way, so I would very much have a care if I were you.
I couldn't care. Frank Gray is a degenerate entertainment attorney. I could tell you stories
No, you know something, Phil? I'll sue him.
I want you to be quiet and let him talk.
Thank you, Phil.
I mean, all of this is starting, Margaret, because you got a problem with him being a guest on the show. I made the decision. He's on the show. I made the decision. It's out of your hands now.
Fine.
Ms. Gray just trying to have the opinion.
Who was that?
That was Bud.
Hey, Bud, this is Herb Sewell, not Sewer, Sewell. And I just think that you're safer keeping your big trap shut, too.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, well, what?
Nothing.
You know what you guys are doing? I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. You're trying to make this so much of a mess that I just say, thanks, Herb, get lost.
That's exactly what's happening.
All right, then I'm not going to let that happen. He's going to comment on this, and then we'll be done. Go ahead, Herb.
All right. Now, no one would dare change my schedule, no one, without my authorization and my sole authorization. That means I don't have a manager that I have to go to say, oh, sir, can I change my telecommuting schedule? And the reason why they wouldn't do that is because there's a very specific fear that they have when it comes to me, and that is that I might snap their neck with my bare hands. Now, let me just finish, Phil.
Now, you know, Herb, I've just had two people here that I've just told to shut up because they kept up bringing up your criminal past, and now here you are.
No, that's not my criminal past. That's the natural reaction of any man who has a schedule that he wants to keep. That's the natural reaction of any man that has a schedule that he wants to keep.
That they're going to snap someone's neck.
That would be my reaction because, and I know that I'm not normal, and then we can get into that, and Ms. Gray, I'm sure, has her opinion on that, but I will say this. If someone tells Herb Sewell that he's changing his schedule, a very, very specific schedule that he has worked out with himself and only himself and his creator, and someone says, I'm going to change your schedule, Herb Sewell, I will break them in half with my bare hands. And the body parts, good luck. Good luck finding them. Good luck identifying them when you find them. And good luck ultimately finding out who they belong to. That's how much into my schedule I am. Now,
all right, hold on. World-famous Phil Henry Show, Herb Sewell talking about telecommuting.
Do you see the criminal that he is?
Margaret, if you don't shut up, we'll be right back. All right, so thank you to Herb Sewell. Are you happy?
Yes, I think, you know, Phil, you're right. It is your show, but having that animal on...
You know what? So we're done. That's all it was going to be was 15 minutes. I mean, you guys didn't need to make a big deal. You guys cut into that interview, you know.
Yeah, well...
No, man. I mean, you know, you deserve every criticism you get when you start talking like you got lockjaw or something.
He doesn't have lockjaw. He's sputtering and spitting because he can't believe what he just witnessed.
Oh, no, he isn't. Bud can't find the word because he can never find the word. The fact is you guys were running your big fat yaps through half of that, so Herb only got about 7 minutes, but he got out what he wanted to say, which is basically this. If you try to change his telecommuting schedule, he will cut you up and leave you scattered across the four corners of the earth.
Spoken like a serial killer.
Yeah, well, I think he was basically saying that would probably put him back in prison. So I would suggest that nobody change Herb's schedule.
Well, that it...
Oh, take it easy, will you, Margaret? I'm gonna change the world. You know, if he was sitting here right now...
Yeah, you'd probably crap a brick.
You dirty...
Hey!
Watch it, huh?
No one refers to me doing that in brick form.
Hey! I'm just saying, you're just like everybody else. You pee yellow like everybody else.
Okay, will you?
I swear, Phil, I will turn into the female version of Herb Sewell. Do you want to see that, Bud? Huh?
Why is she smiling?
Why am I smiling? Because it feels good to say it. That's right.
Easy, Margaret. God, you look like you're going to lose it.
What you just put me through, you say one more thing like, I'll crap a brick or I pee yellow like everyone else, and so I'll be all over you like stink on you-know-what.
What?
Just anything that stinks. What do you mean, what?
Stink on you-know-what.
Yeah, what?
Anything. What?
Well, you don't have to explain it to him, okay?
This is what frustrates me.
All right, so you're frustrated. So take it. Stink on crap, okay?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Boy, you people, I mean...
See, she said you people. That's not the first time.
I don't mean you people, you black people. I mean you particularly dumb black people. It's not the same thing.
Oh, I see. So you particularly dumb black people. What do you say to you particularly dumb white people?
I don't understand.
Yeah, you're being racist. See, that's racism.
Yeah, it is right there.
I told you I'm a liberal. I can't be racist. I don't know how many times. Some people are so simple-minded.
You people are simple-minded.
Do you mean Jews?
Are you Jewish?
No, but my husband is. So do you mean Jews?
No, I mean you rich white women.
Well, that's not necessarily Jewish.
I'm not talking about Jews. I'm talking about...
Yeah, he's talking about yous.
Give me five.
Yeah.
Get out of here with the gimme five. Why don't you guys take this seriously for 5 seconds, okay? I got rid of Herb. He's done. He should have been accorded a little more courtesy. I understand you don't like what he did. Okay, should be back in prison. Fine, we'll do something about that. Maybe somebody will attempt to change his telecommute schedule, and he'll kill that person, and he'll be a serial killer again, and he'll go back to prison. But until that time, and maybe I made a bad mistake. Maybe I made a judgment call that I shouldn't have made. Maybe Herb should never be on the show unless it's about something having to do with those crimes. I'm sorry, but I did it. We were committed, and it didn't have to be all that bad.
It was bad, let me tell you.
So anyway, making a long story short, that's the story at Best Buy. Now, we want to get on the phone here, and we're very excited to have on the phone here Bobby Dooley, as today she interviewed the great Jay Moore. Jay, a comic of great repute, and also is hosting his own daily sports show on the Fox Radio Network. And Bobby, your podcast is doing very, very well from what I hear. What are you hearing?
Well, Phil, we're doing great. I'm very excited. Steve, what did we...
Probably about 50,000 or so.
Well, the first month, I think we had 50,000 downloads.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, we're very gratified. We're looking to get the download, and I have to say that Steve has been a great help to me. He was a little bit difficult today, weren't you, honey?
I didn't know about it.
Well, we asked Steve to get us coffee. Jay came in. He's a wonderful man. He has two sons, and we talked about when he said he had two sons, and I asked him, well, how many is that? And that seems like an obvious question, doesn't it? But
If you say I've got two sons, how many is that?
Yeah, but I was testing myself as well as Jay. I was trying to see could I get out of asking a stupid question?
No, I thought it was dumb.
I didn't ask you, Steve. I didn't ask you at all, and I'll do it. So I asked the dumb guy. When he said I have two sons, I said, how many is that? And then I kept a straight face, and he said, that's two. And I said, all right, thank you. So I knew that I had made a mistake, but I made it look like to Jay that I was smarter than he thought. And so that's always a win-win, you know? You know, Phil?
Yeah, that's good. So
he said, I said, okay.
What did you say?
It isn't what I said, dear. It's what he said.
No, but you said...
Oh, yeah, I said, how many sons do you have?
Yes, that's what I want. You said, how many sons do you have? What did Jay say?
And Jay said, I have two. And I said, how many is that? And he said, that's two. I said, thank you. We're talking with Jay Moore.
See, that's brilliant. That's a very good way of saving it and moving on, and no one notices.
That's exactly. And you know something, Margaret? More broadcasters should get that. Don't point out the mistake. Just move on.
All right, so good save. And how did it go after that? I imagine it went very well.
Oh, it went delightfully. Jay is a delightful... And you know something, Phil? You were referencing the second half of the interview. It will be a two-parter. The Bobby Dooley The Bobby Dooley podcast. Jay, in the second half, was just delightful. It was just delightful. I won't give away all of what was said, but it entailed him and seven of his friends and me with my face pressed against the vinyl of the back seat of a cab, And you can well imagine, it was just, it was very zany.
Say that again.
What do you want me to say again?
Well, you just said that the second part, and you don't want to give anything away, but it involved Jay and seven of his friends.
Yes, and me.
And you, seven of his male friends?
Yes.
Yes, seven of his male friends, and my face pressed against the vinyl of the backseat of a filthy cab. So he's very zany.
He's very zany, huh?
That sounds apt.
No. It's a zany. I just want you to be ready for it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
The Bobby Dooley podcast, that's coming up next week. What's up this week, Bobby?
Sugar Ray Leonard on
And he is the boxer, right?
Yeah, he boxed.
By the way, Bobby, somebody had said, and it's not a big deal, you had tweeted that our guest this week is Sugar Ray Leonard.
Yes.
And you said he boxed B-O-X-T.
Is that a misspell?
It is, dear. It's B-O-X-E-D.
Oh, Steve. It's a misspell.
On a box, but he got boxed.
I know he didn't get boxed. He did box, but it's not B-O-X. I'm telling Steve right now. Phil, can you hold on?
Okay.
He did box. He boxed. B-O-X-D. Is that right?
No, B-O-X.
B-O-X-E-D, dear.
B-O-X-E-D. Margaret?
Yes.
Yes, she does know. She's a writer.
Yeah, tell Steve he's an imbecile. I'm a journalist.
You're an imbecile, Steve. She's a journalist.
What?
A jerk. Never mind. We'll correct it, Phil.
Well, I just wanted you to know. So, Sugar Ray Leonard, huh?
Sugar Ray Leonard on Friday. He was wonderful. And Sugar Ray Leonard comes from a very large family. He has a large family right now. I think I mentioned to you that he was elected because I told him that I was president of the Homeowners Association. And Sugar Ray Leonard lives in the same neighborhood with Anthony Hopkins. And I said, well, what's that like? And he said, it's really, I don't care. And then he said he was elected mayor of his neighborhood. And I said, well, that's exciting. He said, yes.
So he didn't care that Anthony Hopkins is on the same street.
No, he's Sugar Ray Leonard. He's one of the greatest prize fighters what has ever lived. And so why would he care about Anthony Hopkins, you know?
Well, I think that Anthony Hopkins would be very exciting.
Anthony Hopkins is exciting. But when you're Sugar Ray Leonard and you were the heavyweight, or not the heavyweight.
I told you. He's not a heavyweight.
Steve, don't yell at me, okay?
All right, I told you, though. He's a feather.
No, he's not a feather. He's a middleweight.
What?
He's a middleweight. He was a welterweight and, I believe, a middleweight.
Well, he's a welterweight.
Welterweight. Yeah, that's it.
No, he was a welterweight, then became a middleweight. I think he shifted between those two weight classes. Nonetheless, Sugar Ray Leonard coming up on Friday, and then Jay Moore next week. And you anticipate that'll be a two-parter?
Oh, I think it'll be a two-parter because Jay was just delightful. And, again, he's got two little boys, and you can tell he loves his children very much. And he just told us all about the comedy and how the comedy and stuff, and a lot of stuff he told us about.
Okay, Jay Moore on the Bobby Dooley podcast next week. Outstanding, Bobby. Thank you very much.
And I just want Bobby.
Yes.
Who else do you, because I want to put a blurb in the column, who else is on the horizon that you know of?
Then we have Kevin Pollak, is that right?
Yeah, I got Kevin Pollak, and then Kevin Pollak.
Well, we have Kevin Pollak.
Yeah, and then Kevin Pollak. Wow, you're right.
Steve was a real problem today because he fell against a tree and hurt his eye, so he looked ghoulish as he was serving coffee with an oozing eye. And I said, Steve, your eyeball is rolled up into your head. And he tried to do some, you know, House on Haunted Hill impression. He went, ooh. What did you do, honey? Yeah, he tried to scare Jay Moore, and it didn't.
Yeah, it did.
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
No, it didn't. No, it didn't. No, it didn't. Okay?
I
said it. I'll take the... I had to threaten to take my high heel off.
Oh, my God, you're kidding.
No, I said, I will bury the heel of this in the bad eye. The eye that's oozing, I will do it.
Hey, shut up. Quit it.
Yeah, and he started to cry like that.
All right, Bobby, I don't want to... We've had so many domestic disputes on this show. thank you very much. We're looking forward to the Bobby Dooley podcast this week when Sugar Ray Leonard drops on Friday, and then next week with Jay Moore, and currently on iTunes and other places is the second part of your Joel McHale.
Yes, and Joel, he's Joel McHale. He's a great, great star, great, great man, and a very, very funny man, and we had a lot of fun with Joel McHale.
All right. Bobby Dooley. Thanks, Bobby.
Goodbye, dear. I'll call you later.
Okay, Marvin.
And there's Bobby Dooley and her podcast with Jay Moore next week. Sounds really exciting. Then Kevin Pollak, who is a great guy.
Well, Kevin Pollak interviewed you.
I was on Kevin's chat show. That's a fantastic show. And, you know, there's another guy. See what I mean about humility? I really mean this. There's a guy who's he's a bona fide star. He's been on in film. He's been on television. He's got a great stand-up career. And on top of everything else, Kevin Pollak is a world-class poker player. How good can a guy be? You know what I'm saying?
You're kidding me, right? He played poker on the money and everything?
That's why you play poker, for money, yeah. Wow.
What do you think they play poker for?
You can play for cigarettes.
In jail, yes, but in the real world. So here's a guy, Kevin Pollak. He's funny as hell. I think he's a fine actor. He's a terrific performer in all. And then the guy is a great poker player. On top of that, I mean, it's some cats have just got the knack. But on top of everything else, he does this interview show, and he interviews guys like me. He interviews mugs like me. You'd figure it'd be the other way around.
Yeah, you would think you'd be interviewing him.
Exactly. Well, Bobby's going to interview him, so I guess...
You ought to interview him instead of having Bobby do it.
Bobby got there first. But I can tell you, in being interviewed by Kevin Pollak, the thing that struck me was how self-effacing, how interested he is in other people, interested he is in other performers, interested he is in other comics, interested in he's got a bona fide, real interest in people. And I think that's just something that you got to have in life. And it all comes from having a good, solid, humble view of yourself.
Well, it's having your feet on the ground. It's having your feet on the ground. And, Casey Kasem used to say, he used to close out his show, keep your feet on the ground, keep reaching for the stars, and until you get the one you want, you listen to KRLA. Well, that's when he was on KRLA. It was...
How do you know that?
Well, you told me.
Yeah, he did. That was when he was on KRLA. Then when he was on American Top 40.
Yes, he'd say, keep your feet on the ground, keep reaching for the stars, and until you get the one you want, it's American Top 40. I forget what it was.
Well, no, it was until you get the one you want. I don't know. You get the one you want.
Yeah, until you get the one you want, then you get the one that you want.
That is so retarded.
I don't want that word used ever again on this show, please. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Thank you very much, Bobby, for giving us a view there into the marvelous world of the Bobby Dooley podcast, dropping next week with Jay Moore, this week with Sugar Ray Leonard. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I know what's going to happen as I get older and I begin to enter into those golden years where, there's retirement going on and like a lot of guys that are, suddenly have a lot of free time, I know what's going to happen to me. I'm going to be like Bob Barker,
Well, what? You're going to tell people don't wear leather?
No, I'm going to be out there yakking about zoos. Because that's becoming something that is driving me nuts. I can't stand the thought of them. I can't stand looking at them. I can't stand hearing about them. When I hear of a human being attacked or killed at a zoo, I feel bad for the person. I feel worse for the animal for some reason. I just do. And the more I think about zoos, the more I realize there isn't one good reason for these things to exist. I can't personally, I don't know about anybody else, I don't like seeing something in a cage. Something in a cage that didn't really do anything to belong in that cage other than just be walking down the road one day and, I think we'll just take that one and put him in a cage. And, hi. Now, I'm not saying that animals have human rights. I'm not saying any of that stuff. I'm talking about, see, one of the things that people don't understand, when we talk about, like, the humane society, what are we talking about? We're talking about treating animals better so that our humanity is not degraded, so that we are not suddenly inhuman, you know, or a human, you know.
What's that mean?
Like, not human, but not anything else. We would be a new species of some kind of deviant thing. We wouldn't be an animal, because animals act on instinct, act out of self-preservation, the need of nourishment, you know, the need of comfort, the need of shelter. Animals act out of logical instinct, if we can call instinct logical. But humans, when humans are violent and when humans behave the way they do, we are humans, so we have this thing called free will and choice, and it can be warped by certain experience. And the next thing you know, we are serial killers, or we like to inflict pain just for kicks. We're doing things that there's no real precedent in the world of nature. So zoos, to me, started out, I can understand why we had them. I mean, we started out with zoos. Oh, look at this. Here's an animal I've never seen before. It's a fascinating animal. Let's bring it over to the zoo and people will see it. See?
Well, that's the whole reason, Phil. The educational value.
All right. Now hold on for a minute. The educational value. The educational value of what? So some kid can come and look and see, look, right there is a giraffe. Oh, that's a giraffe. Yeah, okay, bye. Now the kid goes home and watches TV and shoves more milk duds into his face. And
well, that is degrading the child by associating the child with the milk dud, which has been done before, and degrades the giraffe by saying the giraffe...
Can we get to it this week? Because I had some things I wanted to say.
What an ass. Boy, that's too bad.
Yeah, that's right. I don't care about the kid I could care. There's nothing degrading to the kid. You want the kid to see a giraffe? We got books. There's photographs. And someday the kid can get on it, up off his ass and fly to Africa and see a giraffe. For the comfort and the so-called educational value. Look, I know that there are some kids that want to see giraffes because maybe someday they're going to be zoologists. There's a very, very, you know, there's a real educational value for people that want to work with animals. I get it. For the casual individual to just stroll by and see a giraffe, while it is an amazing sight, and as humans, you know, we're so bloody important, and I recognize that we are important, but we're not so important when it comes to inflicting discomfort or pain. That's what I'm talking about. That's when our importance ends.
You're not inflicting no pain on a giraffe. He's just standing there.
Is the giraffe where he's from?
I don't know. Where's he from?
Africa.
If it's a zoo in Africa.
Yeah. Oh, get out of here. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. It looks like I'm going to have to spend a whole 6 days talking about this. The zoos in Africa.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Hey, welcome everybody to the world famous Phil Henry Show. I was just reading some radio news. There's a guy by the name of Smirkomish. Do you know this guy?
Yeah, the guy in Philadelphia.
Mike Smirkomish has decided to abandon terrestrial radio. He's gone on to Sirius. And the reason he gave was exactly what we've been talking about. And that is that, you know, talk radio, news talk radio has become... It's ridiculous. And it's something that we've been talking about for a long, long time. But, you know, these brain surgeons that run the radio stations, they know what's up. So he basically said, you know, you can't, if you've got an opinion that is not a stark arch conservative opinion and you don't have some refreshing liberal take. In other words, if you are maybe a person who thinks for yourself, then there's no place for you. So he just decided to.
So he's over on Sirius XM.
He's over on Sirius XM. Now, understand, they're probably paying him. And when I say that, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I don't know if Sirius pays. They pay Howard, and I'm sure they pay Opie and Anthony, and I'm sure they're paying this gentleman. and there's a select group of hosts that they'll pay, but most people that are working over there get no money at all. And I'm being very serious. They get no money at all. They have shows at Sirius as a way of promoting other stuff they're doing. So it's a pretty interesting thing. The radio medium that used to be a medium like a lot of mediums where you went and earned a living, you know, where you could go and earn a living because there were people that were selling it and monetizing it, that doesn't exist anymore. Radio is now a promotional arm of other things that you do. So radio is like a billboard now for, say, if you have a host, hi, my name is Joe Blow, and I actually am a stand-up comic and a TV actor, and I have a podcast, and I've got other stuff that I make a living at, and I'm only on the radio because it's a way of promoting.
But I don't get it. Why would you be on the radio promoting?
You'd be on the radio promoting your other stuff that makes money. Now, of course, if you are on the radio promoting, that says there's people listening to the radio, which means that it's worth your while to be promoting on the radio, which means you could sell advertising and you could make money there. But apparently they have lost all ability to do that. The people that, well, I don't know.
Now you're starting to get into that area, Phil. It's just going to make things even more difficult to find you a home in the radio world.
That's been the case for a long time, believe me when I tell you. A long time, the weird-ass stuff that we do. All right, enough of that maudlin stuff. Welcome back to our program. It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and, 877-876-PHIL is the number, and also, of course, we're online at philhenryshow.com, which is where you can get a backstage pass and listen to and watch and partake of and absorb and smell and feel and be at one with the world-famous Phil Henry Show. You can get close to 5,000 hours of audio. I mean, let me just put it to you this way. If you are at all interested in great comedy, we got it. If you're at all interested in watching me do things, well, never mind. I don't want to get into that, but
it is pretty weird.
It's weird. Then we got that. Trust me on this. Backstage pass, $9.95 a month, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. In other news, folks, let's see. What else is happening around here? I was going to talk about that zoo thing. It's just bumming me out.
Well, let's talk about it. It's a really good take on it and everything.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about stuff that bums me out, okay? I'm done talking about stuff that bums me out. And zoos bum me out. What's this?
This is a U.S. senator ending his filibuster of the Brennan nomination. And it's Rand Paul. And I don't know if you know this or not, but Rand Paul is the son of
RuPaul.
Are you being funny?
No.
RuPaul, that's pretty funny, though.
No, not RuPaul. That's so old.
Ron Paul.
Is it Ron?
I don't know. Yeah, it's Ron Paul.
That Rue.
No, it ain't Rue. You know it's not Rue.
You said Rue. I don't know.
That ain't Rue Paul, man. Rue Paul is black. And a guy.
So?
So,
do you know who Rue Paul is?
Yeah, it's a chick.
No, it's a guy. Just what he said.
Well, yeah, it's a guy.
It's a guy that looks like a chick.
It's a guy that looks like a chick.
A black guy that looks like a chick.
Yeah.
Okay, so Rand Paul and Ron Paul and all of them Pauls ain't got nothing to do with Rue Paul, okay?
Yeah.
Good. So what's up?
Well, Kentucky Republican Rand Paul took the floor of the U.S. Senate on Wednesday. I always like to say Wednesday because this feels right, doesn't it? When it's spelled W-E.
Yeah.
Anyway, took the floor of the Senate on Wednesday and spoke for nearly 13 hours in an attempt to block the confirmation of John Brennan as President Barack Obama's next CIA director in a protest of the administration's policy of using drones in targeted killings.
Hmm. Now that is, that's one for the books, but I guess there's good reasons for these things. Now, John Brennan is the guy that I remember seeing him on TV right after Osama bin Laden had been taken out, the terrorist. And John Brennan was quite, he was evident on television. He was a spokesman for the administration, basically speaking on behalf of the intelligence community and the administration in the killing of Osama bin Laden. So he seems like a pretty logical guy. I don't know. When it comes to being the CIA director, it's got to be a high, you know, high pressure gig. And no doubt you have to make some pretty serious decisions. And you got, I think you should have an experience, some level of experience in intelligence. So Rand Paul was against this guy. Not really. It was just to protest targeted killings with drones.
Yes.
So, in other words, the party that used to be the big anti-terrorist and anti-bad guy party, the Republicans, no, I don't get it.
Well, it says here that Paul began shortly before. This is a filibuster. And you know what a filibuster is? A filibuster, do you guys know?
You know, Robert?
Yeah, it's when a guy keeps on talking and talking and talking.
Yeah, well, don't they get to stop?
They can stop anytime they want, but a filibuster is where you take the floor in the United States Senate, and you keep talking, thus keeping something else from happening. And that's a filibuster. And some of these go on and on and on and on, and then you yield time.
Yeah, that's when they say I yield time to the gentleman.
Yes, they'll say those things, and that is in due course. They'll say I yield time to the gentleman, or to the gentle lady, to the gentle lady.
That's the lady.
Yes, oh my God. Are you serious?
Well, I'm just double-checking.
Well, what the hell do you think? I'm yielding time to the gentle lady. It's a guy?
Maybe. The way a lot of guys are dressing nowadays.
Yeah, it's pretty good, man.
Yeah, that's real funny, man. So,
But anyway, I've seen it on
Look, you can look at that on C-SPAN, and I've seen many of these, and they'll say, like, I yield time to the gentle, to the gentle lady, and I yield time to, you know, all these gentle ladies, or whatever they are, you know.
No, they're not yielding time to all these gentle ladies. They're yielding time to the gentleman. Or the gentle lady. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, this is going to be a stupid question. Do they got to be gentle?
Boy, it is stupid. But I'm not blaming you for the stupid question, bud. This whole conversation...
Is what?
He yields time to the gentle lady and the gentleman. Okay, I get it already. Can we move on now?
We're talking, Phil, about Robert's parliamentary rules.
What's that?
These are the rules of the parliamentary, the process. Robert's rules states that you yield to the gentle lady. I think. I don't know.
Always a gentle lady.
No. It can be a man, a gentleman.
All right. Well, then what does Robert's rules state?
You yield.
You yield?
Yes. If you're asked to yield.
If you're asked to yield. All right. So...
Phil, you're acting... You're dismissive, and it's starting to piss me off.
Well, I'm so sorry if it's pissing you off, but I don't know what you're talking about. You yield to the gentle lady, to the gentle man. Would you turn that off, bud?
Bitching, it's ID, and it's the women that kill.
I don't care. It's bloody, and it's gory, and it's making me sick. Turn that off. I can't believe that. It's the first time in my life I've turned ID off. All right. I've discovered, now this is what I believe, this is what Mr. Paul said, I've discovered that there are some limits to filibustering, and I'm going to have to take care of one of those in a few minutes here, he said to Laughter, after thanking his supporters, staff, and U.S. Capitol employees. Paul's action did not keep the Senate from voting on whether Brennan, Obama's counterterrorism advisor, should lead the U.S. spy agency, but he delayed it until at least Thursday. After Paul finished, Senator Richard Durbin, the number two Democrat in the Senate, entered motions to clear the way for the confirmation to move ahead. There could still be a further wait for a final confirmation. See, this is just a strategy on the part of the Republicans to keep Brennan from, not necessarily Brennan from being the CIA director, but this targeted killings with drones. And so it goes.
Well, I think you made a very good point. When the, and again, I have to go to Robert's rules, Phil, and this is something I know, so please don't give me the, you didn't like her giving you the bug-eye routine, and...
Look, who's the bug-eye?
Wait a minute, you're talking about some of the first hour we were talking to David, his girlfriend Tabitha, he said was rolling her eyes at stuff that I said.
No, he said, well, I thought he said the bug-eyed, the bulkhead stare.
Yeah, that was it.
No, that was not the bulkhead, what are you talking about, the bulkhead stare?
That was yesterday, that was, Don Berman said a bulkhead stare.
She wasn't giving me the bulkhead stare. She, in any event, so I'm rolling my eyes. Yes, I'm rolling my eyes because I don't need Robert's rules right now.
I'm trying to tell you why the Senate does what it does. The filibuster is to keep people from voting. You know that?
Yes.
All right. When you filibuster and you have to take a toilet break, as is the case here with Mr. Paul, then he is allowed to go into the bathroom and use the bathroom. If there is any kind of technical ability, if they've got an extension cord where they can take the microphone in there, and I know it sounds ridiculous.
You got to be kidding me.
Are you serious?
Of course I'm serious. Phil, if they have the ability to take the microphone in there, they will do that. It has happened. The problem is there's echo. They can't hear clearly what the individual is saying as he's talking.
Well, who needs to hear clearly? The filibuster is just to keep on talking.
Yeah, but if it's echoing.
If it's echoing, then it becomes ridiculous. Then people are hearing, and I can't approximate it. I wish we had a recording, but it's, I don't like the thing. It sounds like that. So people start going, well, obviously, no one can understand. There's a toilet flushing, there's the obvious noises, and there's the echo of the tile.
Okay, and so therefore what?
Well, so therefore it makes a mockery of the speech-making process. And the gentleman, or the gentle lady, you know?
No, I don't, Margaret.
Well,
don't you understand, Mr. Henry, about a gentleman?
Will you knock it off with the gentleman and the gentle lady? You're telling me that a guy can drag the microphone into the can with him?
I didn't say can. You did. Those are your words, not mine.
All right, fine. I'm using my words. He can drag a microphone into the can with him, and he can talk and talk. Are we taking a break here? I'm sorry. Are we taking a break here? I guess we are, because I'm hearing music. All right, we'll be right back. World famous. Sorry, Dan. I just totally spaced.
Well, are we going to finish this or not?
We'll finish it when we finish it. But there's no such thing as a guy dragging a microphone into the bathroom and talking during the filibuster while he's taking a leak and it's bouncing and echoing off the tile. And, oh, well, we can't do that because no one can understand him. Who cares what he's saying? It's a filibuster.
Yes, it's a filibuster, but now he's in the toilet.
And there's acoustic.
There are acoustic considerations.
All right, we'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Very interesting news we're looking at here on this marvelous, what is this now, Thursday morning here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Willie McGee has been hired by the St. Louis Cardinals. No big news for anybody that isn't a sports fan, but and I'm not much any more of a baseball fan, but at one time I was. I remember
what is his name, Millie?
No, it's not Millie.
You said Millie McGee.
I did not say Millie McGee. I said one time Millie. I said one time I remember... When I was a baseball fan, Willie McGee.
Yeah, Mr. Henry misspoke. He said Millie McGee, and he said Millie Willie.
Well, yeah, but let's be clear. You said Millie, and the only reason why I'm saying this, Phil, I don't mean to make a big deal out of it.
No, no, not at all. No, no, that's not... Tonight's show has nothing to do with making big deals out of nothing. Huh?
Well, my God, you almost broke your glasses.
Mr. Henry, don't get all tense.
What did you want to say?
You said Millie Willie. That's all I want to say.
I don't think I said Millie Willie.
Yeah, you did.
All right, I said Millie Willie. All right? Millie Willie McGee has been named the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals. God, what nitpicky stuff.
Except if I did it, you'd say, oh, Margaret, you said Millie Willie.
No, I never do that. These two idiots do. A lion mauled to death, Millie Willie McGee. No, that's not it.
A lion mauled to death, who, the future manager of the Cardinals?
No, that's not the story. Where is it, bud?
Right here.
Willie McGee has been hired by the St. Louis Cardinals to be their new manager. The former great Willie McGee is actually a special assistant to the general manager, focusing on the minor leagues. McGee, 54 years of age, added to the staff on Wednesday, served as a special instructor at spring training last month. McGee's in the franchise top 10 in games played, triples, stolen bases, and pinch hits, and was a career .295 hitter over 18 seasons. McGee was also I mentioned McGee was also a member of the 1982 World Series championship team and was a National League MVP in 1985 with a league-leading 353 average for a pennant-winning team. His bat, let's see, 1985, the Cardinals won the World Series in 85. They beat the Kansas City Royals. That was the, they called that the I-something series.
What does that mean?
It was some interstate that connects Kansas City and St. Louis. It was a terrible, terrible, boring World Series. And as I remember, the last game, am I right about this? The last game, one of the pitchers got his ass handed to him. I mean, he just got shelled. In any event, McGee was a part of that pennant-winning team. His batting average from 1985 and, let's see, his batting average from 1985 and 216 hits are franchise best for switch hitters. So Willie McGee, for those of you who are baseball fans, hired by the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, moving on to some other news here, of which we have. This was the story that I didn't want to talk about this, Bud. I don't know why you brought this out again.
Yeah, but see, he got mauled and everything.
I don't care. So there's some nut that was a Christopher Dorner fan. Some guy, are you ready for this? A Christopher Dorner admirer. The fact that that guy had anybody backing his ass up for any reason makes me want to go freaking postal. I'm telling you. That guy Dorner, I'm reading comments on Twitter, I'm reading this, that. This guy murdered innocent people. He took out innocent human beings. And there are jackasses, well, I don't approve of what he did. Anytime anybody starts off a sentence with, while I don't approve of his methods, I do. They've lost all credibility with me. I don't believe a thing they've got to say. I don't want to hear them. I don't want to see them. I don't want to smell them. Get them out of my sight because they're hypocrites as far as I'm concerned.
Well, how can you say that, Phil? You can say, I don't approve of his methods, but, Jim Jones, you know.
No, I don't know.
Jim Jones? Who's he?
You don't know who Jim Jones is. Boy, are you out of it. Jim Jones, everyone knows who he is.
Well, you don't approve of his methods, but what?
I don't approve of Jim Jones's methods, but... You can say this. You could say, I don't approve of Jim Jones. Here's what you could say. All right?
Yeah, I'm waiting.
All right, Phil. Here's what you say. What are you doing, bud?
Nothing.
Would you take your finger out of your nose? Here's what you say. Okay?
I'm waiting, yes.
All right. I don't approve of Jim Jones' methods at all. I absolutely do not approve of them. But a lot of really dumb people left the earth that day.
That is absolutely...
Oh, don't, Phil, don't get all faux outraged.
I'm not even outraged. I'm sickened by a comment like that. Do you know that there are family members that are still alive of those people?
Yes, I do.
You do?
Yes, and I'm not commenting on the deep love they have for them. All right, let me say this.
That was absolutely... There are family members that are still around. There probably are still... Mourning, obviously they're still mourning their loss. You never get over a loss like that.
All right, let me say this.
Well, it's too late now. You already butchered it up.
No, I didn't butcher anything up. I'm Margaret Gray. I can save anything, so don't worry about it. Here. I don't approve of his methods, but it's a good thing he used Flavor-Aid instead of Kool-Aid. You know why?
No, why?
Well, actually, Kool-Aid was blamed, wasn't it? I was going to say Flavor-Aid got blamed and Kool-Aid didn't, but it didn't matter.
No, it didn't matter. So that's great. So you carved up two of them.
I'm Margaret Gray.
I know. You're Margaret Gray. You can save anything. We'll be right back. I'll give you a chance to save this when we come back.
There's nothing to save, Phil. Believe me.
Yes, there is. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
No, there is not.
Well, I think there is.
Well, who are you?
The host.
So?
So, who are you?
Margaret Gray.
So?
So?
So what?
So?
Phil Hendry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, every night to 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. There's been a lot of bad news. I can't get away from it, you know. I mean, the closest we've been able to come to getting away from it was this Rand Paul dragging a microphone into the can to keep on filibustering while he's using the toilet, and they didn't think of that, and Margaret said they could have done it.
No, they could not have done it. They could have. In years past, they pulled the microphone into the men's head. But they found...
Yeah, there was echo on a tile.
Yes, tile echo.
Tile echo.
All right, Phil. So in other words, I'm a lion whore. Is that it?
I didn't say that.
Well, you've got that rolled eye look. You're giving me the bulkhead stare.
I'm not saying anything other than I don't believe... Excuse me, I'm not saying you're lying, but I don't buy that they could drag a microphone into the bathroom, but they stop doing it because they can't understand what anybody's saying. If it's a filibuster, who cares if anyone understands? Who cares if anyone's listening? The whole goal of filibustering is not that anyone listens to your horse dung, not that anyone understands it. It's that you have the floor and you are keeping the chamber, the assembled senators, from moving on to other business. That's what the whole thing is. This is sad news. For me, for members of my generation, 10 years after guitarist Alvin Lee has died at the age of 68, British blues rock great Alvin Lee, a guitarist and singer whose scorching performance at Woodstock propelled his band 10 years after to worldwide fame, died on Wednesday of, quote, unforeseen complications from routine surgery. Wow. According to family members, we have lost a wonderful and much-loved father and companion, said the statement from his wife and daughters. The world has lost a truly great and gifted musician. The United Kingdom band's intense 11-minute performance of I'm Going Home at Woodstock was immortalized in the documentary about the festival, with director Michael Wadley focusing almost exclusively on Lee the entire time. With the film's success, the band's popularity ballooned, and they began playing larger venues around the United States. Formed in 1966 in Nottingham, 10 years after, were most active until 1974, scoring 4 hit singles on the Billboard Hot 100, including a top 40 hit called I'd Love to Change the World.
I remember that one. Everywhere there's dykes and fairies. You remember that?
Yes, yes, Margaret. Maybe we'll play it later on from 10 years after.
Well, I can sing it.
I would rather that we hear the band.
Well,
Did it have the lyric in there about a dyke and fairy?
Yes, there was a lyric in there about dykes and fairies.
Yes, it went everywhere there's dykes and fairies. You know?
Well, that's not exactly how the song went, Margaret.
I'm not Alvin Lee. I'm sorry.
Yes, you're not Alvin Lee.
I thank God I'm not Alvin Lee. Number one, I'm glad he was Alvin Lee. Number two, I'm a woman. Number three, I don't sing like Alvin Lee. What I do is I sing in a classical style.
Can we just, Alvin Lee was admired. You heard the statement. Can we just do this?
Yes, but I'm just saying.
I know what you're saying.
You go, everywhere there's, ooh, dykes and fairies, ooh,
Mm-hmm. Oh, Margaret.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, read your story.
You know what? It isn't all about you. A man died today who was considered to be a great father and a great companion. And his wife and daughters issued the statement, and people worldwide admired him as a musician, and I'd like to read this.
Yes, Phil, and I admired him.
Like many of their peers in the late 60s and early 70s, the band found more success with their albums. The band logged 12 entries on the Billboard 200 chart, including top 5 albums, That's the one that had I'm Going Home. That was a studio album. That thing was great. That's the first time I heard 10 years after with that album. Then Cricklewood Green, which I think is the one that had I'd Love to Change the World. A Space and Time was the one with I'd Love to Change the World, and Recorded Live, all of these within a 3 or 4 year period. Two of Lee's former bandmates in 10 years after released statements to Billboard following the news. We are stunned, all of us, said drummer Rick Lee. He was no relation to Alvin Lee. I don't think it's even sunk in yet as to the reality of his passing. We're all thinking of his family and friends today. Bassist Leo Lyons, who, by the way, is also featured in that clip from Woodstock. Leo Lyons was playing bass guitar, and he looked like,
well, he looked like he was having a good time.
Yeah, I mean, he was really amped up, banging on that bass. Anyway, Leo Lyons said, that Lee was the closest thing I had to a brother and said he was in shock upon hearing of his death. We had our differences, but we shared so many great experiences together that nothing can take that away. I will miss him very much. He was an inspiration for a generation of guitar players. After leaving the group, Lee launched a prolific solo career with 1973's On the Road to Freedom. Now get a load of this. It was a collaboration with Mylon Lefevre that featured guest spots by George Harrison, Steve Winwood, and Ron Wood. Do you know who Mylon Lefevre is?
Well, he's a preacher.
Yeah, his mother, they had a gospel group called the Lefevres or the Lefevres. And he was in that gospel group as a young kid. And they're about as down-home Southern gospel as you've ever seen in your life. And then he split and he hooked up with Alvin Lee. And I've often thought about that, thinking, I wonder if that was really exciting for those. These are all a bunch of British musicians playing with a bona fide, actual gospel guy.
Well, why would that be exciting for them?
Because, rock and roll has a lot of its roots in gospel music and church music. So here are these guys that are, playing rock with this guy who's actually his mom and his dad. I mean, these people were like, they did the tent circuit and everything.
What's a tent circuit?
Well, they all went in tents. Everybody, they did a lot of things in tents.
Like what?
I don't know. Like what? Christians were in tents in those days. Isn't that right, Phil?
They had church services, yeah.
Well, okay. There was a lot. Weren't they handling snakes? They were doing things that were very strange in tents.
No, they were having church services. There were snake handlers. There was all kinds of stuff.
What do you mean snake handler?
Never mind. Seven of his 14 solo efforts charted on the Billboard 200, with the highest being 1975's In Flight. Lee's most recent entry on any Billboard chart was in 1986 when the album Detroit Diesel hit 124 in the Billboard 200. Its title track also reached number 24 in the mainstream rock airplay tally that year. His final album, Still on the Road to Freedom, was released last year. Alvin Lee. So maybe we'll close the show out with some Alvin Lee music.
Alvin Lee, he was big when you were a kid.
Yeah, he was big when. In fact, I saw 10 years after at the Olympic Auditorium back in the day. I saw them. I was a senior in high school. I saw 10 years after and Johnny Winter, who was another great guitar player during those. Guitar players, and it's. I'm not saying they don't have good guitar players now. Please don't get me wrong. We've got fantastic musicians today, without question. But the guitar player was just coming into his own in those days as a solo artist. And when I say just coming into his own, it wasn't that they didn't have solo guitar, but they had far better equipment. They had amps, they had sound systems, they had things that the players themselves, like Jimi Hendrix, were getting sounds out of guitars that they never conceived of 10 years before when Buddy Holly and cats like that were starting, the rock and roll groups that sort of gave birth to the rest. So anyway, Alvin Lee was a great guitar player. Johnny Winter, whose brother Edgar Winter.
I was going to say, is that Edgar Winter? Is that the one with Frankenstein? I was going to say.
Yeah, that's Edgar Winter.
Yeah, and Free Ride?
Yeah, I remember a Free Ride, or I think I do. Maybe I'm not sure.
Well, how did it go?
What?
How did Free Ride by Edgar Winter go, if you think you remember it?
Well, we're not giving a test, Margaret.
No, I want to know. How did it go?
It what?
Free Ride by Edgar Winter. How did it go? If you're going to interrupt me, I want to know if you know the music you're talking about.
Margaret, you're the one that butted in with this whole,
this whole what?
You're starting to sing that song?
Yes, everywhere, dykes and fairies. That one?
Yeah, it's obnoxious the way you sing it.
Yeah, it sounds like you're in a show, in a Las Vegas show.
I'm in a show in a Las Vegas show. Anyway, how does it go?
What?
If I've got to ask you one more time, I'm going to knock your teeth in. How does it go?
Margaret.
Easy.
Goes free ride.
No, it doesn't. You...
All right, so what was the point?
Because he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Everybody doesn't know what he's talking about. You don't have to drive it home.
I'll drive one home. Don't worry about it. I'm in a bad mood.
No kidding, you're in a bad mood. It goes, come on and take a free ride.
Oh, God. Well,
that's how it went. Anyway, thank you very much, Margaret Gray. So that's sad news. Alvin Lee passed on at the age of 68. And, when you got to go, man. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's what Rand Paul said. That's what Rand Paul said. That's what... You didn't get that.
No, I got it.
Yeah, we got it.
I didn't ask you.
Yeah, you suck tonight, Margaret, okay? With your trying to start fights, and so I wouldn't say that humor is your very best friend. Here is another passing.
Yeah, this will be real sad for Bud.
Here is another passing. The professional wrestling community on Wednesday mourned the death of William Moody, a real-life Undertaker who gained fame as a wrestling manager with the ring name Paul Bearer.
I remember Paul Bearer. Are you serious?
Yeah, his real name was Moody.
Who's he?
That was Paul Bearer. This is the poor man who passed on.
That's the guy with Paul Bearer.
Yeah, I remember Paul Bearer. I think he managed a junkyard dog.
I don't know who he managed.
Well, there's no such thing as a real manager in wrestling.
Can I finish the story? Paul Bearer, Mr. Moody.
What was his name, Mr. Moody?
His name was William Moody. And his stage name, if you will, because that's really what it was, is Paul Bearer.
Was Paul Bearer.
Was Paul Bearer.
Oh, so he died. Are you going to cry?
No, I'm not going to cry, but I... Oh, man, do I... Now I want to hurt someone. Now I want to hurt someone.
Well, Phil...
No,
it won't be a human that I hurt. I'll probably have to hurt puppies or something, the way I'm feeling.
You're not going
to
hurt a puppy.
It's either I hurt you, Bud, or Margaret, or you, Robert, or I hurt kittens or something. Okay?
Well, what if you just went outside and beat your fist against the wall or something?
Yeah, maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll beat my fist against your husband's car that I saw just pull up here moments ago because he's getting ready to pick you up. How about if I go ahead and just punch dents in his Rolls Royce? How about that?
I don't think Frank would like that.
Maybe I don't care.
Well, I still don't think Frank would like that.
And maybe I don't care about that either. Okay, we'll be right back. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth I don't think is so. Our bitch. Okay. The Phil Hendry Show.
Call him up. Frank, get him on his car phone.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, I had been looking at a story. I don't know what the hell happened to it, but Howard Stern is in line to replace Jimmy Fallon if Jimmy Fallon replaces Jay Leno on The Tonight Show. And that seems to be the plan as of now. I just saw this story about Howard Stern. I think Howard Stern's really, obviously, he's coming into his own in terms of... I guess his popularity, it isn't even his popularity, but the fact that they're seeing him as a bona fide television talent, you know.
Well, because of America's Got Talent and all of the things that he do. I don't need to be corrected by you.
Easy, Margaret. And by the way, I've made an executive decision. No, you're not going to sing I'd Love to Change the World because... Or, to put it your way, Margaret, because...
You don't have to be sarcastic.
Yes, I do. A man passed on, a beloved man, Alvin Lee, and we're going to very respectfully observe his life and very respectfully observe his passing by playing the song and his singing and his guitar playing without us, you know, singing along with it.
Fine.
I mean, I'm sure that you would want the same for yourself.
The only thing I'd want at my funeral is if I was singing at my funeral, and of course that's impossible.
Yeah, can you imagine that, and you're going to sing at your own funeral? People would be frightened because there'd be a ghost.
Yeah, that's really good thinking, ma'am.
Well, she just said it.
Everyone, if I sang at my own funeral, yes, there'd be a ghost.
Yeah, and everyone would be scared of it.
Yes, Bud, you're right. That's very good, Bud.
Why is everybody talking to me like I have a head injury?
Because you do have a head injury. You've got a plate in your head, Bud.
I told you not to mess with him.
I know.
No. It's about time, Phil. You have a plate in your head, Bud, because you were driving your motorcycle at an excessive rate of speed in the rain, and your head went through an oak tree in Ojai.
So?
Your head went through an oak tree in Ojai. When are you going to wrap your head around that? Not just a tree. Don't wrap your head around a tree. Wrap your head around your head in the tree.
I think he understands, Margaret.
No, he does not.
I know I did it, but...
You did it, but what?
It wasn't my fault.
Yeah, it was. You were going too fast in the rain.
Your head went through a tree.
She's just doing that because she knows she doesn't get to sing, so she's going to go, your head went through a tree, and everything she does.
Oh, my God. You think I sound like that? You really do need a new plate. You really do. Don't they have, Phil, don't they have the alloys now?
I don't know about plates in guys' heads, okay?
Plates in guys' heads. You'd make a wonderful doctor. What's wrong with me, doctor? I'm Dr. Hendry. You need a plate and a guy's head. I don't know how you do it.
I don't think I'd be a doctor then. And if I was a doctor, then I would speak in a far more cultured, far more professional manner. Okay? Fine. I just want to say thank you very much to Dan Northcraft for putting up with this ridiculous, asinine show tonight.
I thought it was a wonderful show.
No, it sucked. With all kinds of dead people in the news, and you, and you, and all of you. All of you, the Lago volunteers out there. Anyway, make sure you get yourself a backstage pass to the Phil Hendry website. You'll be glad you did. We're going out here with Alvin Lee in 10 Years After. R.I.P. Alvin Lee. See you guys tonight at 10 on the West Coast, 1 on the East Coast. World famous Phil Hendry show.
Thank you.
Hendry.